Welcome to another thrilling episode of CTV. Can we spend an hour tonight discussing political listening? Can we use the Socratic method for the entire hour so that we're not caught in a description of reality? Can we get past our ideological rantings and learn to listen to each other? Can we keep exploring through listening the art of politics? If you call in tonight, and we'll put the number up pretty soon, can you ask questions tonight? And can we avoid giving answers? Can we only ask questions for this next hour? And can we see if it's possible to listen to each other for an entire hour? Can anyone here on the panel use a question to start this thing off? Mark Zapatowski on my left, Chris Bausma.
I'm not sure if I can, but if I could, would it be a good one?
There's a question. Can we?
What?
Matthew Clark, John Fitzpatrick, our crew tonight.
What was your question, Luke?
Can we start this with a serious question, a serious political question?
Was my name Chris, though?
It could be. Could it be?
Can the asking questions lead us to discover the similarities, the agreements that we already have, rather than running head-to-head and combating ideologies?
Yes. Can questions bring people more together in society? Can we learn from questions in order to combat this competitive nature that our society seems to exist upon? Is that possible?
Can we afford to live in a world where so many people seem to relate on a level and a basis that implies that so many things aren't going wrong with the world? Can we afford to let a kind of non-listening leadership guide us?
Can we occupy positions of leadership without being ambitious? Can we refrain from simple political catchphrases? And can we get past politics as advertising? See, is there a difference between politics and advertising? Are they the same?
Does propaganda fit in there too as a tool?
What is propaganda? How do we keep from spreading our propaganda? How do we find what's real, what's compassionate, what's caring about society? And can we radically transform society in such a way that we can demonstrate this in the realm of politics? Do we need politics?
Yes, do we need the state as an entity? Or are people capable of organizing their own lives how they see fit within their own neighborhoods? Are people capable of creating their own combinations of these combinations that seem to exist without our questioning?
What percentage of the roads could we tear up, completely uproot the asphalt, before the 100% city fell apart.
Question.
Not enough.
Question?
Is that a question?
Would people choose that, though? Or does society like the roads or infrastructure or having other people create combinations for them, teacher-student combinations, worker-boss combinations? Do people prefer that?
Does
or not?
Not seem to you that we have a political situation where we have people who are making all their political decisions and all of their kind of lifestyle decisions based upon a like a steady state carried out, you know, for years, decades into the future, and yet does it not seem unsustainable? And does that not make you think that somehow, even though there's all this information out there, like that the environment's falling apart, that the U.S. is on a warmongering rampage maybe for years into the future, and yet does it not seem strange that it has a kind of level of normalcy and kind of denial to it, like it's no big deal.
Can we look at ourselves that deeply so that we see on a national level our own egotistical nature as a nation?
Can we define nation as continent?
Can we step past nations?
Can we move forward from presidency to continental congress?
Can we see people as human beings and not as citizens of one nation or another?
If we move backward, would we have to become international as opposed to national?
Would that not be forward?
And what is meant by?
Is there movement involved in awareness?
Ah, is that not a good question?
If the government already came up with a 38-state plan for redistricting our nation, would we somehow reject it by popular vote?
What about the Electoral College? What's so sacred about the Electoral College?
What about that?
Why did Bush win that election?
Is it rigged?
Could the ultimate, you know, upper echelons of political authority that you might call the state, could it, you know, take a risk in having the people actually elect directly the president, you know, the sort of emperor of the United States for 4 years?
Yes. Wasn't it designed just for such an eventuality that
yes.
we just saw from the start?
I would be maybe mistaken if I thought so.
Doesn't the Bush family have close ties? Perhaps within their family, don't they have close ties with the people, the corporations that are making these new voting machines to count the votes in the next election?
Did you actually hear that?
Mm-hmm. Which ones are you talking
or
about?
Or read that?
These ones?
Did I?
Regardless of how the machines count them, does voting count for anything?
I would think that it would be strange, perhaps.
Or is Bush just so bad that you got to get off your butt?
Would anybody else be any better?
Yeah.
Or would they all be victims of the capitalist system?
Can we empower ourselves? Oh. Can society empower themselves to vote for themselves?
Can we take a caller? Can you hear us, Tim?
Pete?
Yeah, can you speak up?
Yes, how's that?
Yep, can you ask a question?
Yes, I got a question. Is human nature inherently evil?
Ooh.
Inherent from what?
Inherently evil.
Inherent from what?
Pardon?
What would it have inherent, if it's inherently evil?
Inherent.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. But that's the question.
Okay.
Did the caller ask a good question?
Is there evil and good?
Are human beings inherently evil?
Inherently evil?
I guess a corollary to that would be, why do the nobler systems of government always seem to fail? Why did communism fail?
What is it about utopian societies that seems inherently unstable?
Wouldn't, if we do recognize an inherent evil, wouldn't we need to have an inherent good in order to recognize the evil?
Good question. I don't know.
I think it would be ultimately strange philosophically if human beings were inherently, you know, a pure evil or pure good or more one way than the other way as a general description.
Why is the world so screwed up?
That was a question.
What's your question?
Why is the world so
I think it would be, do I not,
what is it about the world that's so screwed up?
I mean, is it not undeniably screwed up? I'll keep it all in question. Yeah. Is the world not undeniably a nasty, harsh, for the most part?
Isn't part of the problem that we don't listen to each other?
Is it also not at the same time a beautiful place?
Absolutely, yes, I would agree. Nature, I mean, the natural animal plant part, I think, is. But people seem to be, myself included, I guess I'll try and keep this in questions, but I see a lot of, I am selfish. I have to admit it. I mean, I wish I wasn't. I mean, I wish I was more compassionate. I wish I was more caring.
But how do you deal with those flaws?
I struggle. I try. I try and be better every day than the day before. I mean,
is that not part of the solution?
Yes. But but I guess if I look at the collective result of all of that, I don't think everybody does that. Not that I'm trying to put myself on a higher moral plane, but.
Tim, can we stay in the question format?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Evil or not, is human nature, is Microsoft Windows compatible with human nature?
Can we have comic relief on a serious topic? Yeah.
Do we have another comment?
I think that we could say that human nature and Windows are compatible.
Is that a question?
That's in question?
Oh, wasn't that? Oh, shoot, I missed it.
Yeah, I lost another point.
Can we keep from slipping into answering our questions?
Can I ask a question here at this juncture? Is there such thing as a perfect person or a perfect human nature or perfection? Does nature even represent perfection?
Perfection ideologically possible?
And if not, then why worry about it, or why make it worse?
Well, is pain bad?
Is pain necessary?
Is greed necessary
for evolution?
Could joy exist without pain?
Is Bob waiting?
No.
Could substance exist, you know, without contrast?
Hello?
Hello. Is this still Tim?
No, I'm Bob now.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for calling,
Tim. Thanks, Tim. Sorry to cut you off. But
where's Tim?
Can you ask a question, Bob?
Yeah, I'm going to bring it back to the voting and the election year.
Can you put it in the form of a question?
Sure. Just let me tell this. 4 years ago, I was in Taipei, Taiwan, during the vote of the U.S. election, and the headlines in the paper there was, "Is the United States a banana republic?" With, you know, all the funny stuff with Gore and Bush and who's winning in Florida. So anyways, my theory and other, over the years, has been that usually whoever is voted in is voted by the media. Whoever's forcing the horse race and showing all the polls. And I'm just wondering, this past year or the past election didn't prove that model to work, because the media was pumping for Gore. And then we had this whole banana republic thing happen. So I just thought I'd open up the panel to think about your thoughts that the new polling booths were being rigged and all this stuff, but I mean, I'm not sure what the question is other than how do we think of it? Is it still a horse race or is it rigged? Is it, you know, what's happening?
Are we corrupt? Are we politically corrupt?
Yeah, that's pretty much the same question.
Can I ask a clarifying point for myself and the rest of the audience? Do I know what a banana republic is? Could we just have a clarifying quick just kind of...
Isn't a banana republic a small country in Central America or South America?
But
I think...
It's been dictated.
Do I?
Perhaps Bob. Bob, can you
clarify a banana republic, Bob?
I do believe I know what a banana republic is.
It's what the Asian editors put in their headlines for people on the other side of the world to read.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking at your country from another country, looking at what's happening, and you see how people on the other side of the world interpret what's going on,
mm-hmm.
it was a dictatorial sort of the president of the banana republic is put in there by some other power other than the people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is that colonialism? Is that a form of colonialism?
Is a good
metaphor?
So how can we, the people here, and you guys, and everybody in the media, help influence it to get it back right? So we, the people, have a little bit more power.
Is the Roman state
what we want?
A good metaphor for a banana republic? Possibly.
Hmm. Can we get the ship back onto some form of...
Hey, see you later. Equalism? Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
Have you ever seen... Good,
I believe... Did Bob ask a good question?
Was Bob Tim?
Wasn't Bob's basic question, how do we keep ambitious, ruthless people from dominating the political agenda?
If we continue to unearth the agreements that are within us, wouldn't the overambitious fall out of that agreement? End up isolating themselves, so to speak, without us having to do anything other than realize our own connection already.
If people were able to think for themselves, wouldn't they resist some authority telling them answers? And is it possible for people to think for themselves without some political machinery influencing them so that... I mean, are we capable as a species of clear observation and calling a spade a spade?
Mm. Don't you think that history, though, has shown much more politically aware societies than the United States at this point?
Mm.
Isn't the United States even at certain points in its political history more... skeptical or knowledgeable in some sense than today?
Are we evolving?
Just this weekend, didn't Spain blow your mind? What happened in Spain?
Literally.
Didn't it blow a lot of people's minds?
Can we see the terrorists as the same ruthless people as, you know, the other side of the coin?
Mm. For a moment, can we get back to Bob's question? Did Bob's question mention media? And were we talking about banana republic? Terrorism, is that a part of that?
Didn't Bob say that?
Well, real quick. What happened to the commons? As far as like the media, that does the media include the airwaves? Aren't the airwaves supposed to be owned by everybody? What happened to that? And these ideas, do they not need space just as other things in society need space, physically and mentally, space on the airwaves? So, as a possible answer, I mean, doing what we're doing, doing the show, supporting something like the Community Media Center, does that help? taking back, you know, what is being stolen from the commons.
Was Bob also implying that Banana Republic represents a government run by proxy, by some outside power? And could he be implying that our government, even though we have a big country, is in the midst of a coup by a small group of people that decide the issue for us?
Did I not understand Bob to mean that, like Central American republics, banana republics, the United States was, in that moment, seeming to show electoral instability, political corruption? And am I not correct that banana republic really means when that's the real and kind of permanent condition of a country? Like in these small republics in Central America.
I suppose you could go to any third world, or could you go to any third world country and find banana republics? Japanese banana republic, Chinese, Indonesian banana republics, where the outside group dominates the local political scene.
Is it tied in with the use of resources or what sort of industries are in that banana republic as well? Are free trade zones an example? Say, are they, or the situation in Venezuela more recently of the oil industry and Chavez and evidence of U.S. funding going there to oust Chavez?
Might that not, in the U.S. case, be more an example of our long-standing imperialism over this hemisphere to begin with?
Is it?
Can we curb the desire for ultimate power? Is ultimate power tied with security?
Would a banana republic invading Mars expect reparations in a war that resulted?
Might you not repeat your question?
If a mouse roared about moon marigolds, would it be the Department of Social Services?
Can we examine?
Might it not be?
What do you have to say to that, John?
I think it would be strange if
you
could think of anything to say.
Can we see that our current administration in this country is treating this country like a fiefdom, and its army like a political private army?
Can you repeat that? Great phrase.
Can we see that our current administration in this country is treating the United States like a fiefdom and reserving the cream of the crop for its constituency? And can we see that the oil companies of America are basically going for the oil in Iraq? Or is that just off the...
Why does it not include telecommunications and media? Does it not include biotechnology corporations, pharmaceutical companies? Are those included?
And
too?
Isn't Halliburton being investigated for overcharging the American taxpayer by $61 million dollars?
Can Bob see the current administration in that banana republic sense of Can Bob see the imperialism, or does he only see the banana republic?
Does the average person see the imperialism happening? Or is this stuff we're talking about a build-up to a new sort of feudalism, industrial feudalism?
Is it not?
The viewers see...
Did the caller?
The 11 million people in the streets of Spain, did they hear that they... overwhelmingly rejected their right-wing leader and elected a socialist leader who immediately called Bush a liar.
He called Bush a liar?
Did the viewers out there know that?
Can we take Chris? Are you still there? Or have you just departed? Oh.
Don?
Don, are you still there?
Don. Hello, Don.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Do you have a question?
Well, it sounds like you started to go where I wanted to see you go, which was the oil in Iraq may be like the bonus prize for this sort of expeditionary military endeavor. Hmm. But I think what you have to really probably focus more on is the beneficiaries of the whole exercise, the military-industrial complex. I think Eisenhower, even as a general, said, beware of the military-industrial complex.
We're trying to ask questions.
Do you think now we're seeing what he meant?
I'm sorry?
Do you think now we're seeing what Eisenhower meant?
Yeah, I think so, and I think kind of your point about maybe American political scheme in at large being more aware and more skeptical of the things that have occurred in the past. I think if you look back to the time of Jefferson, he would be very critical of what our government has become, as opposed to being, I don't think his vision of agrarian culture is this, that, you know, where we are today. So maybe you guys could expand.
Can I ask you a question, Don, on that?
No. I just kind of wanted to get some.
Oh, because I was going to ask whether you see the military-industrial complex as a specific group of people who have changed, or as a system that can be changed or exists regardless of the people in the position.
I think it's very people-oriented. You know, you talked about Halliburton, you talked about, I'm trying to think of the other companies that have been involved in some of this stuff.
Lockheed Martin?
Yeah. And you look at the connections to the people, even in Bush's administration, in the Ken Lays of the world, I don't think the connections are really that difficult to make, and I'm really surprised that there hasn't been, I mean, the outcry over Clinton's personal indiscretions led to his impeachment, but, you know, I don't know, 500 plus American soldiers have been killed in Iraq, and Bush is just skating.
So doesn't it
just maybe possibly facing some recently initiated censure?
Doesn't it seem strange to you that Bush and his administration is so involved in inside deals and, you know, with contracts to the military and privatizing the oil in Iraq, etc., that doesn't it seem strange that it's so blatant and disproportionately not pursued compared to Clinton, who, didn't have a tenth of this apparent degree, of corruption?
I don't necessarily, I wouldn't call it strange. I think it's a little bit, I think we have to start kind of questioning ourselves, maybe, and say, why aren't we holding these people accountable? I mean, really, how do we let people get so mixed up in Clinton's personal life? Not that I'm saying he did anything right, because I think it was really destructive, particularly to the Democratic Party. But
could it be that
such a high standard there? But yet, to me, Bush has been allowed to basically run the country like it's his own personal. I don't even know what you want to call
fiefdom?
It. Military expedition is probably the best thing I can think of. That's where I can think of.
Is there a lot of personal profit making and interests in focusing on politicians' personal lives? Does the media and journalists make lots of money from that?
I don't know if it's more money or stature that you get the talking heads, they get out there and blah, blah, blah.
Might it not be just an important maneuver in political, psychological control over public attitudes to maintain the status quo,
That's probably
a good analysis.
Yeah, isn't that the dark side of politics as advertising, as Lou mentioned earlier?
Can we step through this fog and emerge in some way to see these things clearly, or are we as a nation mainly in a state of denial?
Probably a lot of that and lack of journalistic integrity. There isn't really any journalists out there that are really willing to stick their neck out, take a chance, and go against the grain and be willing to risk things like... who knows how far they could reach on an individual with, say, the Patriot Act or some other you know, infringement of someone's right to free speech. Who knows how far they could go? And it would be frightening as somebody, I mean, maybe like a guy like Michael Moore, he's a little, I suppose if you looked at him from the standpoint of somebody who is moderate, he would seem a little extreme, mm-hmm. when in reality he's probably very close to being accurate.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Can we handle the truth?
Probably not.
Can people still empower themselves as well?
Oh yeah.
In their homes, in their own lives, in their workplaces, and find ways to work together to organize, to sidestep these things, like the find loopholes in the Patriot Act and stuff. Not to say, I mean, is the Patriot Act 342 pages long and
it's
super
like
difficult to?
Acronym for us
but.
First? Please,
but did I not? I met a woman. Did I meet a woman last night that is a librarian, and she was saying, was she saying something about the restrictions put on her and in her job of disclosing records of people's checkout history, and was she not saying, however, that there were certain things that she could do with the computer to sidestep that, to let, you know, people know without her finding out? Is it not part of the Patriot Act that it is illegal for the library staff to tell you if the FBI is investigating your library records? But that's just an example. Is that an example? I guess, but what I'm saying is that is there empowerment people can have in their jobs, in their homes, in their whatever they do, that they can find ways to work together, to use their skills, I guess.
Isn't there a greater empowerment in people getting away from certain almost or even outright narcotic effects of the media culture generally? And am I not perhaps correct in thinking that this kind of, you know, combination of, you know, narcotic effects from, you know, beer or narcotics and from the new, you know, sort of entertainment culture of, you know, the computer, not to mention movies, you know,
live
existing media.
Isn't 1 hour of...
Well, wouldn't it be empowerment to get somewhat out of that? And if so, wouldn't that represent the kind of missing element in awareness, perhaps?
And even, and would
that
small
would,
steps...
Is missing politically?
And would even small steps make a difference?
Wouldn't
bigger,
that make empowerment itself?
Is the question you're trying to ask, is the media the opiate of the people?
The soma?
Is the media the new religion?
Is question. Capitalism
is the
itself
media the new
religion?
Or artificial life? Or the new?
Well, thanks, Don.
Thanks, Don.
Naturally artificial life.
I had a question I haven't been able to...
Okay.
Do you?
Do I?
Do you?
Isn't 1 hour of Democracy Now worth 7 hours of Fox? And the time you save isn't walking outside and talking to your neighbors worth 7 hours of Democracy Now?
Do you guys agree with John's question?
Can we
do I agree with his question
about these things? Can we reduce everything to a formula and then defend that formula? Do we have to defend formulas constantly? I mean, are we capable of rearranging ourselves when a new information is obtained?
Do we still have free will, the power to make a choice?
Do we have
given
choice?
Options?
Is there such a thing as choice? Can we see past a dualistic way of looking at life and look directly at it without splitting it into good, bad, winner, loser, left, right?
Can't we, if it becomes painful enough? Can't we, if it seems to become obvious enough?
Are we intelligent creatures? Or are we just creatures of habit?
Mm. If our free will is constrained, can we learn what those constraints are?
Aren't there forces trying to prevent you from even asking that question?
Is freedom possible in life? Or are we constrained at every turn by some authority of some sort? Even our own authority.
Or even by nature itself.
Or by nature itself. But in the realm of what is possible, where we don't go into just pure fantasy all the time, are we capable of, in this moment, seeing past our prejudice? Or are we trapped in our prejudice states, mentally? What can we do to wake up, in other words, to see what's happening? So that we don't blind ourselves by our own ideological diatribe.
Are we not taking steps towards that just by talking about it? Getting it out there on the table, at least?
Isn't it difficult to even ask yourself questions continually without answering them?
Is it too much to expect? Or is it even actually likely that leaders could underestimate the degree of their power in such a way, maybe, like, where, what do you think? If NAFTA were to be like it is, the policy of the United States, and it were to, let's say, become painful enough, perhaps in a situation even like now, where people perhaps, what do you think? Maybe they would wake up in a political sense, maybe.
Yes, is there a breaking point to the impacts of free market capitalism and free trade to as far as the toll on
don't you think
humans?
It's likely?
Humans and the environment.
Don't you
Did I
think
say
it's
this
likely
question
that there's such a breaking
earlier?
Point?
What will the world be like? What will be the state of the biosphere when every family in China has an automobile and a television?
Did I not hear that the U.S. Department, OSHA, you know, Oceanic and Atmospheric Survey, whatever it is, did I not hear on NPR recently that Michigan is supposed to be savanna, African-style savanna, at the end of this century?
Whoa. Can we get past the answers in the form of questions? Can we talk to Patrick? Hello, Patrick.
Hi. I'm sort of curious what your viewpoint is about Ralph Nader and the Green Party. Well, Nader's not actually the Green Party, but Ralph Nader entering into the presidential race and the effect that might have on the Democrats with Kerry and the possible defeat of Bush this election year.
Didn't he come on to complain about Eli Lilly's Zyprexa in the geriatric wards? I'm pretty sure it might have come the same day, if not, correct me.
Patrick, do you appreciate being given the chance to vote for him, whether you will or not?
Do I appreciate what?
The chance of voting for him, whether you plan to do so or not, but do you appreciate the fact that Nader has given you a chance to vote for him?
I think that, honestly, if people want to defeat Bush, Nader really needs to back out of the race and give Kerry an honest chance to defeat him in the general election.
Is it possible to realize that there's no way that Nader would win, but to focus on the issues of his platform?
No.
I mean, just to see that, did Denis Kucinich say that outright, that he knows he's not going to win, but it's about the issues, and using that as a tool to get it out, not necessarily to get someone in office, but.
No, because if you look at the 92 election and how Perot actually led to the defeat of George Bush the first, the 96 election, and how Perot again led to the defeat of Dole against Clinton, the 2000 election, where Maynard led to the election of George Bush the second. We need to realize that this is a two-party system, and that it's always been a two-party system, and it's most effective as a two-party system, and that a third-party candidate is actually acting to defeat the process as it's been developed and is meant to work.
Could Ralph Nader be working for Bush? You think that's possible? Could Ralph Nader be under the dominance of Bush? Could he be a phony candidate?
No. I think all it's doing is diluting the center-left part of American society.
Did you say the system works best with only two parties?
Yes.
Okay.
I think if you look back to the development of post George Washington his president, as far as cabinet, you look at the foundation of the party system with Hamilton and Jefferson. It's been proven since then. I mean, obviously, over time, there's been some evolution of the two-party system, but it's meant to be that way. You've had two groups of people historically.
Did you say meant to be that way?
Well,
I think so. I think if you look at socioeconomically, historically, what people's opinions are, generally they're divided into two camps.
Well, does it work for the will of the people though? Isn't the state of things nowadays both parties are generally pretty close to being the same? Did I not see an article where the top campaign donors to both parties were, like, the same five corporations?
You know, I understand that as an argument. However, you know, people need to take ownership of the system. And if you are a person that leans left or leans right, identify fully with that party and support it. So if you lean left, support fully the Democrats, obviously, that group will be supported and elected, and people will get voted into office that back up your viewpoint. Vice versa as well. I mean, if you lean right, then support the Republicans. But if you play the game where you're actually helping to defeat a political party that's going to help you best in the long run, you're going to end up voting for your enemy by voting for somebody in the middle.
All right. Can we cut you off? Thanks for the call, Patrick, we got another caller. Is this L.A. Dave? Are you on the line?
L.A. Dave.
Okay, well, LA maybe Dave. He's not calling. But
so,
are we incapable of change? Is that what the caller was asking? Are we stuck?
Are we incapable?
He brought out a point that stuck. Is do we really want to have ownership of this system?
Mm-hmm, I got that.
Is that this the system that we want to have ownership of? Mm. Or can't we decide to find a different system just because this is the system that came down from Hamilton or whatnot?
Yeah.
I think he was suggesting we need to take ownership of it, and I would just question that whole principle.
Okay.
Is it not the essence of democracy to question it and to develop a new, develop an alternative if it's necessary?
Are we noting apathy and what we might call real politics in Patrick's voice? I mean, isn't he just basically saying that's the way it is, like it or lump it, we got to live with it?
Yeah.
And
the two-party system.
Are we questioning now that this system is obsolete and there's possibly a better system, but because of the intrinsic nature of the continuity of the system carrying on, that people are afraid to change? Is that possible, that we're afraid to change?
Might it not be very possible that drastic change might present more possibility for catastrophe on the level of political, you know, therefore other forms of, say, environmental chaos.
Is Ralph Nader an alternate system? How does Ralph Nader get funded?
Couldn't Nader, even for the caller, I forgot his name.
Patrick.
Trying to take his point of view, couldn't he see Nader as an opportunity instead of an impediment, an opportunity to put his view out there more in order to get whatever it is Kerry elected instead of Nader? Otherwise, he would say, Kerry's going to win, I don't have to do anything. Nader's in the race. Doesn't that spur even Patrick to redouble his efforts in the pursuit of democracy?
Isn't it very valuable for Nader to be in the race in order to prevent, say, Kerry from going that much further to the right center?
And what is wrong with a coalition government? Couldn't we have a change so that instead of winner-take-all, it's you win by percentages? Couldn't we have, like, Ralph Nader represent 2% of the people or whatever, 5% in Congress?
Interesting.
And couldn't the coalitions put together some kind of a package to defeat a right-wing dictatorship? See, aren't we capable of thinking past just the current envelope that we find ourselves in?
Yeah, just Tweedledum or Tweedledee.
Why is it winner-take-all? Why do we have this winner-take-all attitude?
The evil of two lessers?
Isn't it not because to change it constitutionally would be far too difficult? Is it not because to change it would be far too dangerous if it went wrong?
Didn't we have many, many political parties in the history of the United States? Didn't we have several parties at once at one time? Didn't we have several periods in our history where there were many political parties?
But isn't it true that American history has basically had this dichotomous structure?
Basically,
Isn't it the winner-take-all system itself that draws out that dichotomy? That if we had a different system, that perhaps we would get a different arrangement of parties revolving around themselves.
L.A. Dave.
L.A. Dave, you're back on the line.
Hey,
L.A.
Guys. Dave.
Question?
Yeah, what is going on? What if you could comment on the idea of choiceless awareness a little bit?
Oh, right. Hey, choiceless
awareness. Did you
good
say question.
Choiceless awareness.
Awareness.
So that we don't fall into a dualistic thinking. He's asking a question whether we can radically transform our awareness to the point where we see intelligently without the necessity of dichotomizing reality. See, now it's a pretty elaborate idea, but it does seem possible.
So that there is no need for choice, that's what you're saying?
Well, if we look at choice, how does choice occur? Doesn't choice occur when we have sort of a willful approach to a situation? I will or I won't. But isn't L.A. Dave asking whether we can look without labeling things yay or nay?
And could we have responsible politics in a situation of choiceless choosing? Or would that be the state of dictatorship or slavery?
Haven't we been sold basically a bill of goods on the idea that we have choice? How free are we really? If it is a duopoly up there, does it make any difference who we vote for?
Does humanity in general think it's sort of the center of the universe, that it is kind of that is responsible for or kind of greater than other forms of life? I mean, is it possible to give the natural environment a vote?
Could we have?
You assess. Can you assess the state of ecosystems and give them a vote?
Parliament of the planet?
Yeah.
And why was the Department of Peace such a crazy idea?
So is that Dennis Kucinich?
Wasn't that Dennis Kucinich's
idea? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why is that such a crazy idea?
Yeah, what's the big deal?
I mean, do we want to be at war all the time?
Yeah.
Is that the only way that we can expand as a...
Is that not the ultimate expression of this dualistic choice thinking, you know?
Why?
Or dualistic thinking of, you know, this land or that land, or our way of doing things or your way of doing things.
Why is it in the situation that we've seen since 9/11 that people don't question the idea of a serious 50-year international war?
Michael, we got a new caller.
Michael, are you on the line?
Condition of war.
I am.
Do you have a question?
Hey, I'm a first-time caller, first-time watcher.
Oh, welcome.
Thank you. You guys are great. You're on the mark. Actually, this is an absolute great show I'm watching. My only question is, and I don't mean to change the subject, and if I am, you can hang up on me. How are we born into being taxed, like for Social Security? I mean, I'm going to probably have to work to the day I die. I would rather have the money now. I'm going to have to work to the day I die anyways. And when I die, I get $255. Do you have any questions, comments, or anything I can do about that?
Hmm.
I'm pretty much stumped. I mean, it's like something you're born into, like slavery. It's not a good situation. I just thought maybe if you had any comments or anything like that.
Do we detect a sense of hopelessness there?
No, it's not hopelessness. It's just I'm going to have to work the day I die. I mean, I have a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, that's all good and dandy. But,
what is it that you would rather see in this case? That you wouldn't have to pay Social Security taxes, or that Social Security wouldn't exist?
Well, I'm hoping that it won't be insolvent. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm 35.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping it's not insolvent. The baby boomers are coming up of age.
Don't you think so?
Is this not a realistic question and a realistic sort of fear? Because what really is there to protect us getting our Social Security? I mean, what's the proof that it's even going to be there at all, you know?
Don't you think it's just a smokescreen to say that Social Security should be destroyed, to say that it's insolvent? Since, after all, isn't it a trust fund that goes into the general fund and becomes legally possessed future income that individuals own? Isn't that what it is?
Yes. And George Bush wants to have people invest their money, and the stock market, as you know, people lose money every day. So you could lose your money overnight.
Isn't it true, though, that the Social Security Trust Fund, because it is... Essentially, a bond of the United States, will be there as much as savings bonds are, or any kind of agreement made by the Constitutional Republic of the United States will be paid or will still be owed. It won't disappear. I think that is
okay, well, do
actually true,
then?
Don't you?
National debt too, and I've always heard that that's not a big. Isn't that? Aren't we?
I have a question.
How big is our national debt? Anyway,
how big is that?
How deep can we dig the hole?
If we were to compete as 38 states,
can we listen?
Resources? Would there be less competition than 50 states?
Michael, I have a question.
Yeah, can we cut out some states? let's knock down the border.
You have some.
That was tried before. It was a bad experience. Sorry.
We're listening.
You have some problems with Social Security. Do you have a model from history or currently elsewhere in the world, or that you've seen in a book, that you think that we should try to adopt instead of this?
No, I don't. But what I'm saying is we're going to have the biggest expenditure in Social Security probably within the next 4 or 5 years because of the baby boomers. Mm. And it's going to suck so much out with all the tax cuts.
Mm.
And how can you get more money out than taking in, I guess, is what I'm asking. I guess what I'm saying is, should I start a 401k or something like that, which is not FDIC insured? It's a mutual fund. I guess I'm asking your guys.
Do you happen to know if that's 401 or is it 401? Do you happen to know?
It's a 401k
plan. Is it 01 or 401?
It's 401k.
I mean, could it be 4N1 and or 4C1?
Michael, where does the question of wages and of income come in this? I forget.
Well, I guess when I retire, I want to make sure that what I paid in, I get back.
Sure. I understand that. And that's smart, I would say. But how about the initial income? I mean, I guess I'm saying in generally, maybe not specifically your case. I don't know what kind of job you have or what kind of income you make.
Okay.
But I'm just saying in general, when was the last time the minimum wage was raised? It's been so long, I forgot.
In real dollars, we're losing.
Well, I make about $15 an hour. And when I retire at 8, I'm going to get about $800 a month, which is a paltry what I'm making now.
Okay.
So I guess that's what I'm asking. If I'm paying so much in, am I getting interest on money? Am I just losing money? And how can we be born into something we've never signed a contract for? It's like we're being born into slavery.
Boy, what a bunch of questions.
Yeah,
we're
so many
really
questions.
Challenging ourselves tonight, aren't we? Aren't we going right to the nitty-gritty of the workings of society?
Getting our brains going.
Here. Isn't this the fears that people have about where's it going to... How am I going to live when I get older?
Yeah, well,
what am I going to do with my life? You know, what government type of government do I want?
Mm-hmm.
How much can I trust other people to help me out when I'm old and infirm?
Well, we got to wrap it up tonight.
Let's
keep asking questions. Let's keep seeing if is it possible that we can step out of these traps we've laid for ourselves?
Let's keep questioning authority as well.
Our own authority.
Our own authority that we put on ourselves.
How did we get here? You know, how do we arrive at the ideas that we have? And are we capable of going past our own limitations? Can we become a more compassionate society? Go past the boundary lines we've established.
Can we go past the boundary lines that we establish that define possible solutions only in the most pessimistic terms, as our callers seem to, with how to pay for Social Security?
I wish everybody happy
St. Patrick's Day.
Is that today?
Kiss me, I'm Irish.
Is that today?